Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the first episode here on the podcast of the Pantry Boys. That is Nikki Meats.
That is Bobby Cantaloupes right there.
You better believe it. Now, Nikki Meats, we are here. First episode. The way this all started was we're very close friends, and we kind of just realized you love food. I love food. I started calling you Nikki Meats because every time I saw you, you had some type of piece of meat in your mouth. We were doing an Instagram live, and we started talking about the top five waters. That led into us talking about the top five chips. And then we said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do this every single week. You love food. I love food. Hot takes, cold takes. Let's turn it into a podcast.
Well, you know where it started, where it was really like, we got to take advantage of this when we had Todd Frazier on.
Yes.
Somebody commented, why is this free?
Yeah.
Like, why is this not? Why are we getting this on Instagram Live? And here we are. And you know what it is? We don't do it for us. We do it for you.
We do it for you
listening at home. This is the reason why we come on here. So we talk about the things that people are thinking.
And you know what, Meats? There's so many podcasts out there. And we said, are there any podcasts talking about food, hot takes, cold takes? I don't know one, Nikki Meats.
Not a single one.
Not a single one.
Today.
Let's come in 30 power minutes and let's just talk about food.
You know, sometimes it's really hard to remain serious when I watch you talk about food because it just lights me up because I know the excitement that you're feeling because I feel the same way.
So passionate about it. So passionate about it.
So if you haven't watched the Instagram Lives, this is how we do it. We're going to go back and forth. We usually do five takes this week for the first episode. We're not going to have any guests on, but usually we have guests on and they give a take. But since it's just me and Bob today, we're going to do five takes. I'm going to give the first one. Bob's going to give the second. I'm going to give the third. Bob gives the fourth. And then I come home and hammer it with the fifth one. And Bob, I got to tell you today, for the first episode, I really had to do some really good thinking, and I really had to get some good topics because for the first episode, we got to come in hot.
Okay? We had some throughout our Instagram lives. We had some incredible hot takes and cold takes on
food.
And the beauty of this is we know we have so many more takes to give. Nikki Meats, this is the first episode of the Pantry Boys. We thank you folks for listening. We're going to start it off. We're going to start it off hot. Nikki Meats is going to give his take. We're going to discuss it. Five down the row, Nick Cassano, start us off.
I'm going to save the big one for last, okay?
Sure.
I got three good ones, but the last one is going to be something that's really just like, wow, that's going to make you think. The first one I got, I'm going to spark the conversation, but it's not going to be the best take of the day. It's not going to be the best question.
Meats, I am trembling with excitement right now.
Are you a crunchy or a smooth peanut butter guy, Bob?
Do you know what? I'll be honest with you, Meats.
Talk to me.
I think both work. I think it's a great question. I really think it all depends on what you're putting the peanut butter on.
Wow. Hold on. I'm talking spoon. I'm talking you're going into the pantry, okay?
Oh.
You're feeling like you want to get just a nice scoop of peanut butter, not for a sandwich, okay? For me, I think if you're going to put it on any, like put peanut butter on anything, you always go smooth. But if you're just going to stick your spoon in there, right? And you're going to just get a taste of the peanut butter. Would you rather have a little bit of the crunch from the peanuts or would you rather have it nice and creamy?
Yeah, then that would be a totally different peanut butter take from me.
Yeah, it has to be.
If we're going straight to the peanut butter, absolutely add that peanut butter crunch. The peanut butter crunch reminds me of like a Nestle Crunch, but with peanut butter.
Okay.
A Nestle Crunch would be good without the crunch, even if it was just the Nestle. You throw the Nestle Crunch in there, it just adds another dynamic, another texture. It's phenomenal chocolate. Same thing with the peanut butter. If I'm taking that thing straight up, give me the crunch in the peanut
butter. Okay. Well, I think it's beautiful, and I agree. I just want to backtrack really quick. You said the Nestle Crunch without the crunch would still be good. Do you believe that? Because I think so.
I think in a way it would be just like a Hershey bar. I think the chocolate's good. It's milk chocolate. I don't think the Nestle Crunch can call it the Nestle Crunch without a crunch.
Without the crunch.
Without the crunch.
So it would just be a Nestle chocolate bar? Is that what we're getting at here?
Yeah, or possibly just a Nestle.
Yeah, you know what? But it could be just a Nestle.
Yeah, it would kind of turn into to like, you know, that that Hershey bar texture. And then, by the way, the Hershey bar has added the crunch.
I did not know that. Because I'm not really a chocolate bar kind of guy, but I didn't know that they. Wow. Well, anyways, I go with the spoonful. Honestly, I go through phases with the crunchy and the smooth peanut butter. I'll go through phases where I'll like a smooth peanut butter to the like when I go in with a spoon. But recently, and the reason I ask is because I've actually transferred over to the crunchy peanut butter phase.
Is that sandwiches too?
No. But I'll tell you, when I have a banana with peanut butter, I'm throwing the crunchy peanut butter on.
I think
it adds a little bit more texture. And the reason this came about is I was at the supermarket the other day, and they had – before you check out, you know how the supermarket, like they're all, it's all a strategy.
They sit down once a month
and they say, how are we going to strategically place our items in the supermarket? So we get these fuckers.
I love figuring out why they put certain things in different places.
I love it too. And when you fall for it, you're like, okay. I know they put that peanut butter there. And because of that, good work on them. I'm gonna buy the peanut butter.
We're not mad. It's not one of those things not you get mad at. You tip your not, cap.
No. That's exactly what you do. You tip your cap to the people running the marketing scheme over there at the supermarket, and you say, you know what, you got me. Here, I'm gonna spend $5 on a crunchy peanut butter, and that's how it happened. They had a thing of crunchy peanut butter laid out. I went in there for avocados, just avocados. Okay. The avocado section's over here. I grabbed myself two Haas avocados because I was in the mood for avocado toast.
Sure.
I'm going out to check out. I look to my left, and they're just sitting there. It's almost as if like they had like an angelic, like, oh, you know what I'm talking about?
Going in for avocados is never going in for avocados.
You're not just going to leave with avocados,
nope,
okay?
No chance.
So I see the crunchy peanut butter. Okay. I'm like, you know, I really haven't had crunchy peanut butter in a long time. And I used to really just strictly have the crunchy peanut butter. But I says, you know what? I'm feeling antsy. I think I'm going to go over there. I'm going to get myself a crunchy peanut butter. And Bob, it was the greatest decision I've ever made.
I think
the crunchy peanut butter, when you are in the phase of like, I'm sick of the creamy. If you switch over to the crunchy, okay, it's just going to make you more excited to eat peanut butter, right?
So if you come over to my place and you visit and I make you a peanut butter jelly sandwich with the crunchy peanut butter, do you have an issue with that? Like, is it something?
Not at all.
You know what I would say?
Oh yeah. I would address it right after I take the first bite. I would say it just like this. I take a bite. I say, oh, is crunchy peanut butter? Just like that.
So you do have to address it. You have to address it.
Listen, I'm not going to be mad if you make me a peanut butter sandwich with a little crunch in there. But just understand that there's going to be questions asked about why there's peanuts in my peanut butter sandwich. And I wouldn't do that with a creamy. I wouldn't do that with a creamy peanut butter. You don't question the creamy peanut butter.
Meats, let me ask you this, not to sidetrack, but what percentage of people that go into a supermarket and plan to get one thing, what honest percentage would you say that they get just that one thing?
It's got to be less than one.
No, I don't think actually. Realistically, if you really put a number on it, it's got to be more than 1%.
12.
That's a better percent. I like 12 too.
I like 12 too. I think that's 12 is a good number. 12
okay.
is a good number. Because,
folks, go ahead.
You know what? No, because we're going to get sidetracked, and I really got some good questions. I want to see what you got asked, but I would say 12, me 0% of the time. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it's just a tough thing to do.
I gaze. That's my biggest problem is I gaze. I want to go to this section, that section.
it goes back to the strategy of the grocery stores. They are planning too that if somebody's going to come in just for one thing, it's so strategic to where they'll make sure you don't, and that's why they got it at 12.
You know what they do? They strategically place their stuff for fucking guys like us. That's what they do. They love seeing the pantry boys come in, and they say we're going to get the pantry boys every time they come.
Oh, here comes another pantry boy.
Look at this. We got one. We got a winner. Fucking alarm goes off when they walk into the grocery
store. Meats, for number two here, I'm going to come at you hot. Okay, I'm going to come at you real hot. And what we're going to do here is a kill, fuck, marry of food. Okay? Both marry and fuck are two appetizers that you're going to pass. There's going to be one that you're going to kill that you're going to knock off the list. Okay? I'm going to give you three appetizers. Fuck, kill, marry. Okay. Yes. You ready for me, Nicky Meats?
I've always been ready. Yeah, I'm ready. I like these.
Number one, three exotic appetizers, not your standard appetizers that we would think of, but ones that you see there often. Here it comes. First things first is the buffalo cauliflower, which has really been making its way to a lot of appetizer menus.
I'm liking it. You see my face light up? Yeah, keep it going. Keep it going. Let me hear him. I'm ready. No, because listen, I got a story for you about the buffalo cauliflower bites. I tell you what, but keep going. Go ahead.
Number one, we're going to go with the buffalo cauliflower.
Marry.
Okay. Number two, something that's been there for a while, not talked about a lot, the Southwest egg roll. On the appetizer, TGI Fridays, all of those places.
Okay.
Southwest egg roll.
Okay. That's a phenomenal one, too. This is going to be tough. No, it's going to be tough.
They are exotic appetizers. Number three, we're going with the deviled eggs. So here's what we got. We got the deviled eggs. We got the Southwest egg rolls. And we got the fried cauliflower. Okay. Nicky Meats. Kill, fuck, marry, keep two and one.
I'm marrying the fried cauliflower.
I knew you would.
The fried and you know what's so funny? I didn't have it until like about a month ago, and I took my bite and the first time ever into a fried cauliflower, and it was a buffalo style fried cauliflower. Yep. And Bob, I almost shit my pants. Yep. It was the greatest. It's such a unique taste because you get the batter from whatever the fuck they fry it in.
Yep.
And then you take a bite, and I'm not a cauliflower fan. I don't really like cauliflower.
You don't have to be. You don't have to be. You really don't.
You don't have to be a fan of the cauliflower to like the fried cauliflower bite, Bob.
I don't like pickles, but I love me a fried pickle.
But you love yourself a fried pickle.
And love myself a fried
with the
pickle.
Fried cauliflower. You throw a little buffalo sauce in there, and then what you could do is you could dip it in a nice sauce. If they got something on the side, they got a nice sauce on the side. Unbelievable. I'm marrying the fried cauliflower bite. I'm gonna eat that thing every day. I want
to
spend.
By the way, you don't have
to
overdo it on the breading. I don't mind the light breading, especially.
I like a light breading. I like
thin breading.
Exactly, because then if you fry it too much, you get too much of that weird like fried, like, you know what I'm talking about, where
and
it's
then
too
you're
fried.
Bloated before the entree even comes
before
out.
Before the entree comes out, you got to take a shit.
Keep in mind when frying the cauliflower that there's an entree that's going to come after, so make it thin. Nicky Meats, take it away.
Yeah, so I'm spending the rest of my life with the fried cauliflower bite, and this is and I'm at a crossroads here with the deviled egg and the Southwest egg roll. I love the name, like the Southwest egg roll. I mean, you know what I mean? You see it on the menu. You say, you know what? I want it. Yep. I want the waiter or waitress to come over, and I just want to say, can we get an order of those Southwest egg rolls for the table? We're going
to
try that.
It's hard to make a bad Southwest egg.
There's not a lot of bad Southwest egg rolls. And nope. I tell you what, when they come out, okay, it just like, I'm gonna start crying. You just love to see like the app. Look, I'm getting watery eyed. Like you just love to see the appetizers come out. Like when you go to like a Friendly's or a TGI Fridays and you just hammer that appetizer menu and the Southwest egg rolls come out. It's just such a you know you're gonna have yourself a great night.
And the sauce to the Southwest egg roll has never been bad.
It's never. Never once has the sauce, I don't care where you go, the sauce to the Southwest egg roll is absolutely phenomenal.
Every single time.
It sounds like I want to fuck the Southwest egg roll, the way I'm talking. But I will say the deviled egg, I'm not against the deviled egg.
However,
I don't think I'm going to get as horny about a deviled egg.
Yeah.
And if we're talking in a circumstance where we want to fuck one, we want to marry one, and we want to get rid of one, okay? I get the most horny with the Southwest egg roll, right? But I'm in love, okay? I'm in love with the fried cauliflower bite. I want to spend the rest of my life with it. And I could do without the deviled egg. I'm E6 in the deviled egg.
I got to say, I'm a guy who I really want to see the deviled egg start to get the credit it deserved. It's always been a bubble appetizer. It's always been on the bubble. Yeah. And I just would like to see it more. I would like to see it on more tables. And you don't. As much as I want to fuck the deviled egg. By the way, you're the only guy that you almost put out orange juice. He's the only guy drinking orange juice at 1:40 in the afternoon right now. Now, Meats, I do. As much as I want to fuck the deviled egg, I think we all agree we marry the cauliflower.
You have to.
I would love to fuck the deviled egg.
Me too.
Fuck it.
Can't fuck
it. I'm fucking the egg roll.
You have to fuck the egg
roll. I'm fucking the egg roll. I wanted to so bad sit here and say deviled egg number two. And here's a big reason for me. I love the deviled egg, okay?
Me too. I'm not against it. I'll eat a deviled egg.
The problem with the deviled egg is it's hard to back up a food after the deviled egg. It's got a texture to where you eat the deviled egg and it's hard to then eat whatever's coming next. It's not like a very good palate cleanser. The cauliflower gets me ready for the entree.
Yes, 100%.
The Southwest egg roll gets me ready for the entree.
Ready for the entree.
The deviled egg, you got to be careful on what you back it up with.
You kind of go backwards when you have the deviled egg. You know what I mean? You eat the deviled egg, you kind of go backwards.
It's so good because it's so fucking true. And something that I knew was going to make us sweat a little bit. And I wanted the deviled egg
Fuck the deviled egg, but you just can't.
I can't.
When it's in competition with two phenomenal appetizers like the fried cauliflower bites and the Southwest egg roll, it's not going to get the job done.
It's a rough day for the deviled egg.
I would love to see
the deviled egg kind of break through that threshold.
Me too. I think so too.
For the time being, it's not there. Nikki Meats, we head on over to you for number three. We are rolling here on the first episode of the Pantry Boys.
You like watermelon?
I do. I'm not nuts about watermelon, but I like it.
Okay, so that answer might take away a little bit from the excitement of this one. I got a question for you because me, in the summer, I love watermelon. I love a nice big – I got to get the question out before I explain myself. Do you like cubed watermelon or do you prefer the sliced watermelon, Bob?
I will say, okay, first things first, you're so right about watermelon in the summer. It's a play that I would love to be able to buy a watermelon at the grocery store and feel confident that I'm going to attack it appropriately. Same thing like the pineapple, same thing with the cantaloupe. I'd love to go into the grocery store and have the presence of mind and confident that I'm going to treat that cantaloupe right, that I'm going to treat that watermelon right. I absolutely would like it sliced. It's to me, having the sliced watermelon, I almost feel like, first off, you have something to hold like a slice of pizza.
Okay. It's like
having a crust to hold on to. And I treat the watermelon like the bone being in on a steak. I think somehow, some way, the sliced watermelon, having that thing to hold on to, it adds more flavor to it.
The science behind that is fucking, it's non-existent.
None. There is no science whatsoever behind
Science behind the watermelon.
Maybe it's a mental thing. but having the sliced watermelon with, I guess, would you call that the skin on the end of it?
Yeah, oh yeah, you call it the skin. And then, well, you got the skin, but then you got the green part. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. Oh, so you're calling like the white part the skin and then the
green. No, I'm calling the green. Okay, so you're okay, so let's imagine a watermelon.
Let's break down the melon.
A couple steps back and let's imagine the triangle watermelon. You got the green skin, you following? Yeah. And then you go into the white layer, right?
Right.
Where it's hard and it's kind of bitter.
Sure. You stay away from that.
And then you got the rest of the watermelon, right?
Yep.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I thought you were going to keep me that. That's all
you got? No, we were just breaking down the watermelon. I thought because we were just a little confused about what part of the watermelon we were talking about. Yeah, so I just wanted.
So when I think it's something to hold on to, I'm thinking of that green part. I know what you mean by the skin there. I'm thinking of that green part. I just think it adds more flavor in there.
Okay.
You
know, okay.
Like
okay.
a tomahawk steak. Keep that bone in.
Keep the bone in. Keep the bone in. I got you. But have you ever had some really good cubed, like cut watermelon? Like, have you ever had a fresh bowl that's been sitting in the fridge for 2 days and you take out the big, you buy the watermelon at the store. I can't take credit for it. My mom does it. She cuts it into cubes and then she just throws it in this gigantic bowl and then she just shoves it in the fridge.
Yeah. Watermelon bowls are always,
I mean, a watermelon bowl is probably
take up a ton of refrigerator.
It takes up a whole shelf on the refrigerator, the watermelon bowl. And she puts it in the freezer for about 2 days and then you take it out and you get you find the really hard cubes, you know what I mean? Like the ones with not a lot of seeds in them. And you just put your fork in and it just, for whatever reason, I just think it's 10 times more refreshing than a triangle piece or like a
now,
slice.
Now, the only thing I worry about with the sliced, okay, is the only thing that I worry about when it's cut up like that is, doesn't it not age well? I mean, don't you got to get it to it the first day? Or you're saying Miss Cassano puts it in the freezer?
Oh, no. We put it in the fridge. I would say it ages like fine wine.
It does, huh? To where you could get it 2 days later, no problem.
I take it you're not a watermelon connoisseur.
Not a huge fruit guy in general. Yeah.
Okay, that's right. I should have known that. You told me that multiple times. You're not a huge fruit guy. I should have kept that in mind. The watermelon in the cube form in the fridge ages phenomenal. I mean,
really?
it's like putting a steak in a dry ager. Like, I mean, the more days it's in there, the better it's going to come out. You know
and
what I mean?
And what's your cap date to where then it does go bad?
I'd probably say about a week.
Really?
Yeah.
That's durability.
We got the watermelon bowl like this big. We got it like this big. And we'll just pick at it through the week. And it's out of control.
It's got to be good to something to pick at for sure. But yeah, I mean, I didn't know the watermelon had that type of durability. But I'm telling you, Meats, when I could find a day where I go to the grocery store and feel confident about treating the watermelon right the way your mom
with respect,
then I absolutely would. And
now,
Nikki,
are you scared? Are you scared of the watermelon?
I think fruit in general, I'm a little hesitant about as far as treating it right.
Yeah, you don't want to screw it up. I got you.
I would kind of prefer somebody to slice the fruit for me or buy it pre-sliced.
So why don't you do that? I mean, they have options at the supermarket. I'm sure Trader Joe's has one. I know that's your go-to. Maybe even Whole Foods. They have the pre-cut cubed watermelon. I say you go in there, you try it, and you put it in the fridge, get it nice and cold. And then I say we revisit this for another episode.
For sure. I would love to revisit, for sure, revisit the
because I think it's important. I really think people are gonna debate back and forth on this one because if you're a real watermelon connoisseur, You're gonna have strong opinions about this. Not that I don't mind the slice, but I prefer the cube.
I absolutely want it. We want to hear from the folks. Part of what we were doing on the Instagram Live, which was so great, was to hear from the folks. And I think later on throughout the Pantry Boys season, maybe a few episodes down the line, I want to bring those voicemails to where the fifth question would be.
It'll always be the voicemail.
Gotta be the voicemail.
It's always gotta be the voicemail.
That is gonna take us, ladies and gentlemen, to our next topic. This is going to be coming in hot from me. Nikki Meats tackled a lot of good stuff so far. My question backed up by yours to close it off. Nikki Meats, we already talked a little bit snack wise. I want to stay right on snacks. Okay. What do you Nikki Meats, okay? You're in a weird zone between lunch and dinner. You're hungry. You're not overly hungry. We're going to talk snacks. What do you think is the most slept on snack out there? Single product. So not banana with peanut butter. That's two things. It's got to be a single product snack. Can't say cheese and crackers because cheese and crackers is two things. One item, one snack, most slept on snack out there. Take your time. Take your time. It's not easy, these things coming at you, Nick and Meats. I
mean, well, the first thing.
Your reputation's on the line.
The first thing I'm thinking about is, you know, is it going to, it's going to hold me over for the next meal, right?
Yeah.
It has to hold me over, but I also have to enjoy it too.
Sure. Sure.
And there's a few things that come to mind, but then again, it's not a single. I don't think you're going to like my answer.
If you don't think I'm going to like it, I probably won't. I want a single and then something you can combine.
Okay. The single thing I would say, I don't even want to tell you because you're not going to like it. I know you're not going to like
this
it.
This could go very No, I know south. You're not
going to. It's going to be it's going to be an incredibly cold take, but I like it. And it's just, you ever have an RX bar?
Oh, God.
No, I know. I knew it was coming.
Oh. Oh, no, Nikki Meats.
I knew it was coming. But wait, fuck that. Let me explain myself. No, listen, listen to me. You listen to me and you listen to me good, okay?
Did a power bar, lady.
Yeah, I did a power bar.
You did a power bar.
I did a power bar.
No.
But wait, can I explain my thought process?
Please.
So I'm very big in nutrition, okay?
Clearly.
And this is how my brain operates, okay? So I just ate lunch, and I'm getting hungry, but I don't want to eat a full meal until dinner. So I'm saying to myself, and I'm just not going to bullshit you, I'm just going to tell you, how can I get a sufficient amount of protein in, okay, and get a sufficient amount of carbohydrates in, but still enjoy the meal that's a little bit, you know, in the middle on calories? And the first thing that comes to mind is the RX bar.
But
and
do you get excited about an RX
bar?
Oh, yeah.
No, I get excited about an RX bar.
You say, because wow, I can't wait to enjoy the flavor of the RX bar.
Yes, because you know why? Because I know what it's going to do for my body. And that excites the shit out of me. And I know it's just an incredibly cold take. It's probably one of the coldest takes I'll ever have. But I'm sticking by it. I admit it's a cold take. But when I'm going from lunch and I got to hold myself over until dinner, I'm going for the RX bar. And then if I have to combine something together, okay, I'm going for – you might like this one. I like a quick turkey sandwich. Just a little quick turkey sandwich. You know, nothing crazy. You just take a few slices of turkey. Better yet, I'm going to change my answer. I like turkey rolls with mayonnaise.
Now that's a snack. Now that is a snack. Turkey sandwich. I think you're bordering on the line of
a meal. You're right. Yeah,
you could have a turkey sandwich for lunch. Your lunch could be your same thing as a snack. You do the turkey roll up.
Yep.
Dip in the mayo. You see,
I don't dip it in the mayo. What I do is I lay out the sliced turkey. Okay. If you get someone who cuts the turkey right. And no. I take the Hellmann's squirtable mustard.
Oh, yeah.
Mayonnaise, the squirtable bottle, low calorie, 35 calories per 2 tablespoons. And I just.
That was perfect. Meats, that was absolutely a perfect impression
of what
a squirting mayonnaise bottle. Could you do it one more time for the folks of the pantry, boys?
So you go into the fridge, you take out the turkey, you lay out the turkey, and you just like that.
Oh, Meats, that is phenomenal.
That's a snack.
And gentlemen, maybe that's I'm being a little hard on Nikki Meats. Fire on into the Pantry Boys Instagram. If I'm being too hard on him, let me know. Or if you want to just annihilate him.
I'm waiting for it. And I completely, completely deserve it. I know this is the Pantry Boys. We talk about foods that have flavor. We talk about foods that pack a punch. But the RX bar just I'm not going to sit here and say I go for, you know, like a bag of chips or something like that. I go for the RX bar.
I will say this. You did yourself a favor by prefacing it? Prefacing it?
It definitely wouldn't be prefacing it.
Couldn't be, right?
It couldn't be prefacing it. When you say things like
prefacing it, like if you're saying it before. Yeah.
Yes, yes. But, and when you say things like prefacing with that visor on, it's really just really just not a good look for the brand. It's really not a good look for the Pantry Boys. But hey, we learn from it, okay, and we just keep it rolling. But the correct word would probably be prefacing instead of prefacing.
Prefacing. Not a good look for Bob. Not a good look for Nikki Meats here on the RX.
Not a good look for the Pantry Boys.
For the Pantry Boys.
And you know what too? The RX bar is not a good look for the Pantry Boys brand as well. I mean, like,
not at all.
I mean, ice cold take out of me. But
ice cold take from Nikki Meats. It's our first ice cold take here.
And they happen. You wear it now, on the chin.
All right. What I'm going to do for my snack, standalone snack, and then I'm going to give you a combination. Standalone, we might have two cold takes back to back. I'm not sure this is a cold take. Something that I want to see symbolize the more as a snack, not just a breakfast item, would absolutely be granola.
Now that...
You don't hate that, right?
I don't hate that at all. As a matter of fact, I'm almost like a little offended that you thought the RX Power Bar was a ridiculously cold take, and then you're going to say something like granola. Like, essentially, you're trying to do the same thing.
No, I don't know if that's fair. I don't know if that's fair.
You know what? You're right, because granola definitely tastes better than...
Sure. Yeah. I get excited about granola. You know, not even talking about what
granola lights me up to. Yeah, granola lights me up too.
What granola could do to yogurt or a breakfast item is out of this world.
I mean, you know what it's like? You know what it's like? It's like me in December, right? When I'm pale as a ghost, okay? Right there, I'm just Greek yogurt, okay?
Yeah.
But in the summer, when I get a tan, it's like you just added a little granola.
It just
takes it from here to here.
What, you know, yogurt really needs to thank granola, because what granola
starts seeing more thank yous.
And to be honest with you, Meats, I'm not so sure that yogurt companies appreciate and pay respect to granola the way they should.
I agree, and I think that that's a problem, because I genuinely feel like granola has single-handedly elevated the yogurt game. Because if you see now, some of these brands are starting to even put granola on the top of their yogurts.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Sure. And I feel like there hasn't been like a period where the yogurt corporation, whoever the top dog is, has come out and said, you know what, we'd really like to thank the granola industry
for doing what they do.
There's a disconnect there.
I could guarantee you that yogurt would not be nearly what it is today without it. There are some people going to the grocery store that are buying yogurt because of granola. Does that make sense, Mate?
100%. But I will say, I also enjoy just reaching into the granola bag and getting a little bit. You always do this when you have granola.
For sure. It's like having a thing of peanuts in your hand.
Yeah. When you get granola, you're not going in and putting it right in your mouth. That's a psycho fucking move doing this. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're taking that granola, you're going under here, and you're doing a little bit of this before
your mouth. Let that granola talk to you a little bit.
Yep.
Let that granola talk to you a little bit.
Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal snack.
Phenomenal.
And by the way, definitely can be considered a standalone snack. I mean, yes, it does what it does.
Oh, 100%. 100%. That's where this comes into play.
When I will go shimmy, shake. To when
before you do it, before you, can we do one more shimmy, shimmy, shake?
Just shimmy, shake it. Shake that granola, Nikki Meats.
Right here. Shake it.
Shake that granola, Nikki Meats. Shake it on up. Shake it on up, Nikki Meats. Now, what? Hard to transition from that. But
what are we doing?
This is This is the Pantry Boys, ladies and gentlemen.
This is why we do it. We do it for the shimmy, shimmy shakes. I mean, that's why we're here.
We do it. We do it for you. If people aren't going to talk about it, we will on the Pantry Boys. What I will go as the snack that you can combine is a very basic snack and one that only really gets used at a restaurant. Only gets used at a restaurant, okay? And that is not to say other people don't do it, but it's got to be for entertaining. If you get it at home, it's solely entertaining. I think it needs to break through that threshold is chips and salsa. I don't see enough people. You want a snack? Let's get a bowl, throw some salsa in there, couple tortilla chips, and that's your snack. It's always got to be done on a big platter or entertaining or at a Mexican restaurant. Let's make chips and salsa more mainstream than it is.
You know, there's a lot of moments in throughout this relationship where I say, God, I love this man. And that right there was one of them. It was just another one. Talk about, because it's not normalized.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Like a bowl of cereal is normal to eat a bowl of cereal as a snack, but getting a bag of a tortilla chips and then getting the chunky salsa from Tostitos out of the fridge and just, you know, having yourself a little afternoon is not normalized.
Nope.
And it should be. It should be more normal to have chips and salsa when you're not at a restaurant. And I 100%
you know
agree.
What I mean? That it's like an entertaining snack. It's like
you
can bust it out is when you're having more than 15 people.
Oh, Johnny and Lucas are coming over. Let's get out the chips and salsa. Well, I'm saying Johnny and Lucas don't have to fucking come over.
They don't got
to
be there.
You can have the chips and salsa whenever you want.
I agree. I'm totally on board with that. And I wanted to break that threshold. You're being llama. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I do it all the time.
And I think it speaks true to your character. And I think we really need to start making chips and salsa more normalized. And this is why we do it, Bob.
This is it. No, last time I checked, this is why we do it, Nicky Meats.
The last time I checked, this is exactly why we do it. And we're going to come in to the last question here.
Number five, rock my fucking world, Nicky Meats. Rock my world.
You're gonna need to think. You're gonna need to think. But before, can we just do one more shimmy, shimmy, shake beforehand, just to get the juice?
Get that granola going.
Get that granola going. Now I'm gonna get you with the last question here. What is the most satisfying sip of water that exists? Think about it. Think about a situation. Okay. Where you have been most satisfied with a sip of water.
Oh, that is so good.
It's so good.
Oh, that
there's
is
just so many
so...
situations.
Oh, that is so good. That is so
thank you.
Fucking good.
Thank you.
I got them some thinking to do. Nicky.
Yeah, no, you do. And that's
I want to get it. I want to get it.
You have to give this question some respect. You have to give this question.
You got
to
give it respect. You got to get it right.
Yep.
I'll let you start off. I want to get this right.
Yep. I did a lot of thinking about this one. And I've come up with this. You just went to bed at 11 o'clock. Okay. It's an early night for you. I'm going to set the stage. I'm going to set the scene. I'm going to get the image in your head. So you just went to bed, okay? And you're out cold. It's 11 o'clock at night, right? 2:30 a.m. rolls around and you're up. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
You're having a dream and you're up and you're a little sweaty and you're thirsty. I mean, you're not thirsty, you're thirsty.
Danger zone. There's a difference between thirsty and thirsty.
And thirsty. And you're going back and forth in your head. Do I get up to go to the kitchen, to go to the fridge and get myself a glass of water? And you go back and forth for about 14 seconds. And all of a sudden, it's not even you that makes the decision. It's just
your body.
It's your body that makes the decision.
So good.
To rise up out of bed like this.
So good.
To rise up out of bed just like that. You don't even feel your body getting up. You just rise. Almost as if you're floating and you walk your ass with your tired eyes because you can't open them. If you open your eyes, you're awake and it's time to start the day. So you walk over, even if you feel awake, and those of you who are watching the video version like this, you're probably like this walking over there, because you don't, if the second you do this, that's it. You can't go back to bed. So I'm walking, okay, into the fridge, and I pull open the fridge, and there's an ice cold bottle of water over there.
By the way, I was going to say, you're doing yourself a disservice if this sip is not ice cold.
You are doing yourself a disservice if it's not ice cold and if it's not from a plastic water bottle. And here's why.
Totally agree.
Because what you do is you put all your lips over it, and you crush the water bottle as you're sipping it, okay? For whatever reason, when that bottle starts crushing, you feel more hydrated than you ever have in your entire life. It's the most satisfying sip of water you will ever have in your entire life. You don't even finish it. You just take around. For me, it's usually 5 to 7 gulps, okay? It's 5 to 7 gulps, and I just feel like I've been in the Sahara Desert all day, and I finally got a sip of water.
I'll tell you something.
That's the best sip of water you'll ever have.
This is why we started this, because first off, it's such a phenomenal advanced question. Made me think. I think it made the listeners think. Who out there is asking these type of questions, like what is the most enjoyable sip of water? And you put us there. Lord knows we've always been there. It's just it's exceptional. And again, you are absolutely doing yourself a disservice if that ain't a cold bottle of water. And there are room temperature water guys out there. I won't ever understand it.
It's not that I don't get it. Like I get it. Like if you're thirsty and you need water, honestly, like I don't care. Like if it's warm or cold. But if you have the choice between a cold water and a room temperature water, and you're picking the room temperature water, I mean, I'll never.
And by the way, there's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of people out there that do prefer the room temperature water. I don't understand it. You don't understand it.
I don't get it.
I acknowledge that there's a lot of those people out there. Just don't get it. Where you went with it is phenomenal, Meats. Here's where I'm going to go with it is you're hungover. Night the night before. Maybe you got that sip of water that you were talking about, but in this case, you slept through the night. Now, the first thing I think when I wake up in the morning, I think I'm hungry even before I'm thirsty. So now I slept in, I'm up, I'm automatically, especially after a night of drinking, always hungry in the morning. That's going to be a big breakfast, and I most likely that breakfast will put me out for the day. It's a couch.
Oh, yeah. That's it. It's a couch day. You have a grossly like fattening, ridiculous, greasy breakfast.
Yep.
And then that's it. You're done.
It for sure. You've already committed to the couch day. In fact, you've committed to the couch day when you went out the night before.
Before you left, before you leave, you should look at your couch and you should say, you're going to get some use tomorrow, big boy.
You knew this day was coming. You wake up in the morning. You order your breakfast. Give me a fat old bacon, egg, and cheese. You could put the potatoes in there or give me the potatoes on the side, depending on the type of the potato, all of that. While that breakfast sandwich goes down, okay, you feel that breakfast sandwich bringing you back to life. You feel it soaking it up, the alcohol. And then what you do to double down, and this is why I needed the time to think about this, I wanted to get it right, is you take that sip
of
water. The salt from the Taylor ham, the salt from the bacon, the egg, everything is now coming together, and you flush it down with a nice ice-cold water, and you are cruising.
I'm speechless because it's just such a great sip of water. It's a great sip of water. And it almost like you could almost feel the water quenching your thirst in your body. Like you could feel it in your hands, your feet, your fingers. Like it really, the water really rejuvenates the body.
And so few times do we get to experience that, because I think we take water for granted and we don't. We know we need it, but we don't feel us needing it the way that
100%.
As much as getting that sip. I love the sip that you talked about in the middle of the night, and I love that morning hungover sip with a fat old breakfast in front of you.
Can I just give an honorable mention?
Sure.
And because we talked about peanut butter as well, when you have a peanut butter sandwich, for whatever reason, or when you take a scoop of peanut butter, it's almost immediate that you crave a cold sip of water.
Yeah. Another great sip of water.
It's a phenomenal sip of water. It's almost like having a chocolate chip cookie, and immediately your taste buds are like, where the fuck's the milk?
Right away.
You know what I mean?
Right away. Great sip.
I also think that that's a great sip of water. Not the best sip of water. But it has a lot of potential to be up there in like the top three or the top five.
There are sips of water and then there's good sip of waters and great sip of waters.
Yes.
A phenomenal topic, Nicky Meats. And I'll tell you what, we hit on a lot. It was an action-packed first episode of the Pantry Boys. We got a lot of guests we're going to be bringing in. We got Tyler Cameron from The Bachelorette coming in.
We got KFC
from Barstool Sports coming in. We're going to try and land John Taffer, who would
try
be
and get him.
Phenomenal. We're going to have Jack Arnold on, who's going to be spectacular.
I mean, talk about an electric factory of a human being when Jack Arnold comes on.
We're excited, folks. We hope that you folks enjoy this as much as we love doing it. This is the Pantry Boys, and Nicky Meats, as we always say, The people are talking. You take care, Nicky Meats. We'll see you next time on the Pantry Boys.